Because Patmos experiences mark an extreme change in our circumstances, we're going to spend some more time exploring this theme, using a tiny fraction of the material that I've written in my book Veil of Tears. And this section may have some immediate relevance for what you're going through at the moment, or it may simply be a resource of things to look out for as you seek to care for others who are suffering. There's an old saying that three house moves is equivalent to a fire in your house, which is another way of reminding us to make allowances for the effect that serious changes have on people. There are hospitals where nursing standards are high, medically speaking, but that are all but totally lacking in the most important quality of all, tender loving care, TLC, compassion. And that's what every vulnerable person really needs and appreciates. And it's so important for us to go out of our way to care for people during their varied Patmos experiences. Now, the first thing that would have happened to John on Patmos is that he ceased to be, effectively, the great apostle to the churches in Asia Minor. John on Patmos was just another number in the Roman gulag system, a nobody as far as the penal administration was concerned. And most of us find that our sense of self-esteem and our identity seriously goes out of sync after a serious loss has come our way. We're no longer the husband or wife or the holder of a particular title or description or particular position. It's been taken away, and everything feels unsettled and uncomfortable. Those who lose their partners lose their lover, friend and confidant, all rolled into one. No wonder they feel disorientated and find it hard to adapt to new situations. The entire structure of their life has altered. As C.S. Lewis put it after the death of his wife, her absence is like the sky spread over everything. All relationships are loaned to us, and when their season is complete, we must be willing to hand them back to the Lord and trust Him to fill the hole that their absence leaves behind. Otherwise, parents whose lives have been dedicated to meeting their children's needs can easily plunge into considerable distress, the empty nest syndrome that's so often talked about, when they're suddenly left face to face with each other and needing to make considerable adjustments to rediscover the sense of purpose and chemistry that perhaps they'd once shared together. But if we've attached ourselves to something or someone in ways that never were within the perfect will of God, then we need the humility to really let go. Our flesh will complain, and the ever quick to spot an opportunity powers of darkness will insist that we can't live without this thing, whatever it is. But that's a bluff that needs to be called. And so long as we rely only on our emotions at that point, rather than on the solid ground of God's wisdom through His Word, we will remain trapped and dominated by those same emotions. It's worth sounding the warning that because Patmos times are often becalmed times, there's a real danger of starting to make our own plans and to go in search of something outwardly more exciting. These desires can be so strong that they lead not only the young and impressionable astray, but can also propel the apparently mature into the most outlandish escapades. Beware, midlife crises start early these days. A worship leader, whom we'll call Michael, was finding married life dull and restrictive, and he gravitated towards someone he'd met outside church who appeared to offer all the attractions that he'd been deprived of, and he very quickly fell passionately in love with that person, and within weeks was ready to leave his family for the sake of the flame that he had lit and that had fired up his heart. Now, it was at this point that the Lord gave me a specific word of knowledge about what was going on, and to his credit, he heeded it. It cost Michael many tears and much heartache to turn the clock back and make the break with someone he'd have done much better not to have become involved with. But he did the right thing and by God's grace has recovered, and all because he humbled himself. Many others have allowed their strong emotions to triumph at this point and have placed themselves outside the place of safety. If the Lord asks us to yield something or someone back to him, may we be willing to do so, lest that very thing come to mean too much to us. And if you've reached your goals in life, you may need special humility, not only to cope with the outward success, but with the fact that you're no longer in a position to repeat that success. Just as those who failed to reach their goals that they'd set themselves need humility to adjust their sights, and perhaps to reflect during their Patmos periods on why things have worked out as they've done. Part of what may be happening in these Patmos times is that the Lord is flushing out deeply buried things in our life and bringing them to the surface. And when we're struggling to cope with change, it's sometimes because we are reacting to things that have happened further back in our lives, even in our family history, as spiritual and genetic forces operate at deeper levels, and judgments that have been set in motion continue to wreak their havoc until they're brought to the stopping place of the cross. Some who were brought up in Christian homes, where their parents were too busy helping others, can end up more aware of God's absence than his presence. And this can leave them feeling very insecure about their own identity, as well as doubting the genuine love that their parents may well have had for them. As surely as introversion is unhelpful, identifying these things is all important, but don't be surprised if you find your moods going up and down during these adjustment periods. It's almost inevitable. There's a process going on. God will fill our flower borders again with hand-selected plants from his beautiful cottage garden. But we mustn't fall into the trap of looking directly at all our problems. They can feel overwhelming. And we can't find solutions by looking inside at ourselves. It's only as we seek the Lord with all our heart that we find security. Why not spend a few minutes now tracking down areas where you know that you're struggling? Or allow the Lord to highlight areas where you could be trusting him more? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength as you do this. For as the psalmist says, trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, O people, for God is our refuge and our strength. Thank you, Lord, that you so often come in surprising ways, in disguise even. Ways that we could never have imagined for ourselves, but which have turned out for good. For your word is upright, and all your work is done in faithfulness. Lord, I'll trust in you and not be afraid, for you're my strength and my song, and you've become my salvation. And when we feel as the prophet Isaiah did and complain, but my work seems so useless, Lord. I've spent my strength for nothing and to no good purpose. And then we can also answer, yet I leave it all in your hands and trust you for my reward.
Trust God for my reward.
Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and who has no ray of light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. For the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. So commit your way to him, trust in him, and he will act. Don't throw away your confidence. Remember the great reward it brings you. And then the angel said to John, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God who inspires his prophets has sent his angel to tell his servants what must happen soon.